Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. So happy to be here with you. It's Tuesday, July 22nd. So what really is the economic impact of Comic-Con on San Diego? More on that next, but first, the headlines. Cal Fire is undertaking a major revamp of its station at Ramona Airport. It's expected to improve aerial wildfire response efforts across all of Southern California. The Ramona Air Attack Base will close for up to a year during construction. Officials will be shifting resources and relying on a base in Riverside County to maintain rapid response times for the area. Ramona's base is nearly 70 years old and currently has space for 3 aircrafts. The project will take an estimated 8 to 12 months to finish, and once complete, the base will hold a new C-130H tanker plane. Comic-Con 2025 is just about here, and of course we'll be bringing you stories all week long from inside the convention, but for anyone without a badge, here are a couple ways you can still be involved in the fun. First, if you're a Barbie girl living in a Barbie world, you can live out that dream by grabbing a bite to eat at Malibu Barbie Cafe. The menu is curated by MasterChef finalist Becky Brown. And for just a buck, guests can skate the pink rink with all proceeds going to Girls Inc., a local nonprofit. The cafe is open noon to 10 p.m. daily through October 12th. Or if Pac-Man is more your style, there's also a cafe for that. Celebrating 45 years of the iconic arcade game, fans can enjoy themed snacks, drinks, and merch. All right, San Diego, hear me out. Just keep swimming, because now you'll have more opportunities to do just that for free in City Heights. Thanks to a $335,000 grant from Price Philanthropies Foundation, the funding will expand hours and service from 5 to a full 7-day-a-week schedule. It covers lifeguard staffing, water fitness classes, and youth-focused aquatic camps. While the funding is for everyone, Price Philanthropy says this expansion is expected to impact more than 7,000 children. For more details on location, swim schedules, and classes, visit the city's Park and Recs Department pool webpage. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Comic-Con 2025 kicks off this Wednesday with preview night beginning at 6. Then on Thursday morning, the official convention gets underway. Reporter John Carroll spent some time in the Gas Lamp Quarter to see how things are coming along.
On Monday morning, the Gas Lamp, especially close to the convention center, was buzzing. Everywhere you looked, buildings were being wrapped in ads for new TV shows, games, and movies, and businesses were getting ready for the estimated 135,000-plus people expected to attend this year. The convention center's communications chief, Maren Dougherty, says the event brings in about $160 million to San Diego's economy. At Houston Hot Chicken, just a block away from the convention center, General Manager Jesse Juarez and his team were in full prep mode.
So when we are in the middle of that rush, right, everybody's calm and cool under pressure, right? So just training, making sure they trust their abilities and trust their instinct, and they're able to get, you know, everything out fast.
Comic-Con 2025 ends Sunday evening at 6. The next day, preparations will begin for next year's big event. In the Gas Lamp, John Carroll, KPBS News.
While businesses and workers in the Gas Lamp are getting ready for all the fun of Comic-Con this week, San Diego police are making their plans to keep congoers safe, especially from human traffickers. During last year's Comic-Con, there was an anti-trafficking sting operation that led to 14 arrests and 10 victims recovered, including a 16-year-old. San Diego Police Lieutenant Travis Easter says criminals can see big events like Comic-Con as an opportunity to take advantage.
Comic-Con is a very big event. We have a lot of people coming out, thousands of people coming out. So we really wanted to remind people, you know, if you see something, say something, let us know. We're going to have people out here, officers out here to respond to anything.
San Diego County, with its proximity to the border, ranks 13th in the country for child sex trafficking. The FBI says the region sees as many as 8,000 victims each year, many being young boys. San Diego's City Heights neighborhood has a new turf soccer field. Education reporter Katie Anassis says thanks to an agreement between the school district and the city, it'll be open to both student and teacher alike.
Central Elementary School and Wilson Middle School have gone through major transformations over the last few years. They've both been completely rebuilt, and now they have a new turf soccer field between them.
It changed a lot. It actually did change a lot. And it's pretty nice now.
Alondra Vega Perfecto is about to start eighth grade at Wilson. She's already using the new field during a summer camp. She's looking forward to PE classes using it too.
We can have multiple classes on the field since there's a lot of space.
Starting next month, the field will also be open to the public after school hours. The school district paid for the new facilities using bond funding approved by voters. Richard Barrera is the school board's vice president.
Schools are the center of a community, and so when taxpayers decide that they are going to make some sacrifice and invest in improving our school facilities, the school's facilities should be open to the entire community.
The district says this marks the 96th joint use agreement with the city of San Diego. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
A little over a year ago, we told you about San Diego's new Veteran Engagement Coordinator. One of the goals was to bring the Defense Department's SkillBridge program to the city. Military and Veterans reporter Andrew Dyer checks in with an update.
When a Cessna crashed into the Murphy Canyon Military Housing neighborhood in May, Army Warrant Officer Jason Tweet helped the city respond.
You know, it was intense. You know, it was really unfortunate for what happened and where it happened. But, you know, on the other hand, we were able to come in and put our skills to work. And we did. We came in. I think we were really helpful to the community.
Tweet is one of two SkillBridge interns in the city's Office of Emergency Services. The SkillBridge program allows service members to intern in a job up to 6 months before leaving the service. Chris Heiser is the executive director of the Office of Emergency Services. He says the interns weren't just learning. They were part of the city's response to May's plane crash.
It wasn't like stand back and watch. It was, this is important. Sit in that seat and start doing it.
Although neither veteran will be joining the city full-time, both say the experience is helping their transition out of the military. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
For almost four decades, Comic-Con has handed out the Eisner Awards, often referred to as the Oscars of the comics industry. Our arts reporter Beth Accomando explains what the awards are and why they matter.
Will Eisner is one of the giants of the comics industry. He began his career in the 1930s, gained acclaim for The Spirit, and popularized the graphic novel format in 1978 with A Contract with God. So it's fitting that the Oscars of the comics industry are named after him.
He lent his name to these awards back in the late 1980s, and Comic-Con took them on in 1990, and I became the administrator at that point.
That's Jackie Estrada, who oversees the nominations and the selection of judges.
We have one judge who's a librarian, one who's a comics retailer, one who's an academic or scholar, one who's a creator and does comics, and then one who might be a journalist or reviewer or something like that. So they represent different aspects of looking at the industry.
I wish that I could have an invisibility cloak and sneak into the Eisner Room every year where all the books are just piled everywhere.
Pamela Jackson didn't need a cloak. She was a judge in 2021.
What happens is you get a secret phone call from Jackie Estrada telling you, would you be a judge? And you can't say anything for months. And I don't think most people realize how many books are there. It's just a lot. It's about an 8-month process of deciding what's going to filter to the top, and then a 6-person showdown with your other judges of ranking the materials. I say it's agonizing in all the best ways.
Jackson is also the comic arts librarian at San Diego State University, where the comics collection has grown from about 1,800 to more than 120,000.
So I use the Eisner Awards nomination list to help with my collection development and buy as much of it as I can on a limited budget, of course.
Stephen Torres Roman is a librarian in the humanities department at San Diego Central Library.
The librarians rely on awards lists like the Eisner's, both for an assurance of the quality of the material they're purchasing, but also because they raise interest in these comics. Patrons are going to be coming to the library and asking about these titles. They're going to be like, do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this?
Elizabeth Pollard is a history professor at SDSU and co-directs the Center for Comic Studies with Jackson.
The Eisners are a fantastic Cliff Notes version of what's new and noteworthy every single year in the field of comics. And so it's great to know that here's this pre-vetted list in each category that helps you know you didn't miss something.
Dee Dee is co-owner of Kamikaze Comics and Pop Culture Store. He says some people still see comics as just superheroes.
Well, it's not. The landscape has changed in the last decade and a half. There are more stuff, right? It's good to have that. It's good to have categories. And it's good for the industry as a whole to come together and celebrate an achievement.
Pollard appreciates how the Eisners reflect the diversity and complexity of the medium.
The list of categories opens the eyes of those who don't know to just how complex the field of comics is. Comics, the production of them, the scholarship about them is no joke. It is an incredibly serious, moving, important field, and the Eisners shines a light on that.
Jackson says the categories also evolve.
In my year, we're the year that actually split for historical and autobiography.
Estrada is all about spreading the wealth so more people can take home an Eisner.
I am gratified when I see how emotional people get when they go on that stage and get acknowledgement for what they've done. Because for so many years, people in comics got zero acknowledgement for what they did.
And even those who don't win benefit, says Jackson.
Part of the fun, I think, is when the final ballot is released and everyone starts arguing in the community about what should have been on there and how we got it wrong. And it helps raise even more awareness of the titles out there that people are passionate about.
So if you're looking for something to read this summer, the Eisner nominations are a great place to start. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. On today's Midday Edition podcast, we'll be talking to Marco, host of the international news program The World, about the state of journalism in SD and beyond. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Stay connected to the world around you. KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.